Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Welcome to the new year. It is 2020. I hope somewhere, someone got to hear, because I never saw a meme or a video or anything. I hope somebody got to hear Barbara Walters say, "I'm Barbara Walters and this is 2020. I hope that happened somewhere on the planet. I know I saw the many hopeful memes that were out there, of course. So if it didn't, I missed it. Put it in the notes of the website. Put it on the Facebook page somewhere. I suppose I could go search it out. But what fun is that? Anyway, I hope you had a good and safe New Year's Eve. I had a great New Year's Eve. I spent it with a couple old friends and a couple new friends and a puppy and some great games that I had never played before. So it was a good time. And then came home and edited some podcast stuff and watched Quantum Leap. So it was that's how I rung in the new year, was with an episode of Quantum Leap. It was a good start to the year. This is one of those shorter podcast episodes, if I can stick to it. I had an idea I wanted to present, and then something else melded with it. And so I want to throw this out there just as a thought process as you're thinking about your time and your life and the things that we all want to do. And if you know me well, and I think I've mentioned this in the podcast, I am a fan of Tim Minchin. If you're not familiar with Tim Minchin, he is a comedian from Australia, a very talented piano player and music writer and arranger and lyricist. And his comedy is usually on the not safe for work side, but it's also usually very intelligent and clever, thought-provoking and smart and funny. And who doesn't love to laugh? We all need a little more thoughtful laughter in our crazy world that we're living in. He also wrote the music for the musical Matilda, which I haven't actually seen. He's all over the board in what he does. He's also an actor. He was on Californication for at least one season. I enjoy a lot of his stuff. I'm trying to think of where I have talked about him on the podcast before. He does a lovely song about bringing your canvas bag to the store. So perfect. I had it in the episode that I interviewed Jamie Harvey for Bag at Duluth and then played that song because my house needs to play that for me every time I leave to see if I need to bring my canvas bag or have one with me. What can I think of? Prejudice is another fun song, and oh, Not Perfect. Not Perfect is one of his more serious songs. It's funny, but it's more of a serious and kind of sweet song to himself, and it's also a great reminder for all of us. Check him out. That being said, he said something in an interview that I ran across a couple years ago, I believe it was, and he said something that just helped me put some things into perspective. And I kind of occasionally draw back on this comment when I'm feeling frustrated or short of time, even if I put my best into something, but the time is running short, so I can't give it the all in length of time that I want. And you know how it can be when you're trying to do something. You want it to be perfect. You're not even sure what perfect is, but it never quite feels finished, right? You're never quite ready to show it to the world, and you look at it and you sort of see the flaws, or you see all the things you didn't get done the way you want it to. Well, I'm actually going to play a snippet of this because the question that the interviewer asked him was, my ears perked.
How do you know when you're working on something when it's finished, when it's good enough?
Well, that is probably one of the biggest lessons I learned. The thing you've got to remember is that a theatre piece is an artifact of what you made in the time you had, which is just so brilliant. And a painting's like that, and a comedy show, and all art needs to be seen as an artifact of what you did in the time you had. People get stuck on that. They write their novel for 30 years. Oh, it's not ready. Like, don't give yourself 3 months to write your first novel. Like, binge on it, or maybe a year. Yeah, personally, I think what can't be made in a year is probably not worth my, you know, in a way. You've got to give yourself a time. A restricted time is like the edge of the canvas or the two-hour mark at a musical. It's one of your parameters.
Is that easier to say, though, than it is to do?
Yes, of course. So that has to be a discipline.
Is that something you resonate with, sort of needing that reminder and understanding. I know when I heard this years ago, whenever I first heard it, it was sort of that, again, that first awe of thinking about the whole idea of the work we do, whatever it is that we produce, is the result of the time that we have. And it really resonated with me and sort of gave me permission to think about things differently when I first heard it. And now I'm hearing it in a whole different and deeper way, perhaps. For me, I am glad that my podcasts have deadlines. That being said, it's sometimes hard to say I am only going to give myself this much time to work on or edit, because I can do things over, and I listen to, especially when I'm listening to myself and editing myself, and something like this, where I don't have somebody else that I'm working off of, I listen to it and I'm like, oh, I could have said that better and I should have added this. And I could do that for like days and days and days, because I could edit and edit and edit and do so many things, but always feels like it's never quite ready to go out whenever it goes out. Listening to this gives me that idea that I need to sort of set myself a time frame as I continue to learn to just be better out of the chute. It's an interesting thought process for me to figure out how I apply it in my life and how it works for me. And I'm wondering if it resonates with other folks as well. So it's good for me to be reminded of those things. And it's great and timely for me to re-listen to this. But the interesting thing that also that just sort of synergistically melded with Tim's statement, I just started reading the book by David Allen called Getting Things Done. So I'm not very far into it, but I was reading the first chapter and it was just like resonating with me like crazy. And just that feeling of being overwhelmed and always having this to-do list that never ends. And, you know, you could spend forever learning how to do something and do it better and do it better and do it better. And there's no, you know, kind of just the way our world works right now, that there is no edges to the canvas. So the point that David Allen makes is that our work has changed. The way we look at our work, the way that our work presents itself to us has changed in the creative sense. Meaning that some of the examples are, you know, we used to, for our work, we would get up and we had the fields to plow and you went and you did those things. And then you saw evidence of them being done. That our work used to, you go, you do this thing, you see that it's done, you're done. Boom, work done, over. And we don't have that with our creative work. We don't really have that in many cases. And I suppose you can argue the point that he's making in the fact that there is always more work to be done at a house or whatever. But I it made so much sense to me. You know, even when I had a quote unquote job, there was a sense of, I did my work, I'm done, I can close it up, I can go home, and I don't have to think about it. And I know that when one is working for themselves, you know, in a sense, the work is never done. But a lot of creative projects, we don't have that so much anymore. And then the lines are also blurred of our work and home life, right? Like, so we now have our work bleeds into our home. Maybe we have a cell phone, or, you know, we're always looking at the email. So there's just this never ending sort of thing. And again, with all of the to-dos that we have. But the thoughts from this book, it was sort of this explanation. It felt like it gave me an understanding of my own feeling of overwhelmment at times, that it helped me find some clarity in why is this happening, and that we do have to put parameters on this sort of never-ending canvas. We have to draw a square, so for our own sanity's sake. And I've sort of been in this place of being on, you know, kind of feeling like I'm on this treadmill or hamster wheel or however you want to describe it, loving what I'm doing and wanting to continue to create, but always just feeling this never-ending amount of stuff to do. And, you know, and then when you're kind of, again, trying to, in my world, you know, create a podcast and a presence, and what else can I do to deliver good things and engage people and build, there's a never-ending sea of things that can be done. And so it just feels like no matter when you end the day, you're never done or complete with anything, and it sort of never really ends. So then if you do go do something different, maybe it's something fun, maybe it's just something that's on the lower list of priorities of learning or things like that, that you've got set up for yourself, you almost feel like you're then neglecting the main thing that you're supposed to be doing. I don't know if other people feel this way. I don't think I'm alone out there. Being able to think about that a little differently for myself, I wanted to pass that on just because in case it's helpful to somebody else. Though I don't think these thoughts are exactly 100% new, and David Allen's book has apparently been out for 20 years and I'm just reading it now. Nonetheless, it resonated. I could just hear them both coming together in this like release, this exhale, this weight off my shoulders. Now, I don't exactly know what to do with that information, but just the little bit of the book that I have read feels like there's going to be some great help in sort of the idea around organizing my physical stuff, my inboxes, my to-do lists, and how I can think about and utilize that more efficiently. So I will try to pass on any exciting nuggets that I gain, and I'll let you know if the book plays out as exciting as it feels like it has. But even just having that reframing of that thought, or having that understanding that other people get it in that sort of never-ending to-do list, or you never feel like you're finished and there's always more to do, and somehow that feels more overwhelming or different in my life than it used to, his explanation helped me just make sense of that. So even that part was great. I'm sharing that with you because if it helps you, again, we're kind of in the new year. People are, you know, really thinking about how to go about things and are reflecting of last year. And again, it doesn't matter if it's the new year or not, right? It's just that time marker that we have. One of the things I do want to just say about New Year's and goals and changing, and I think this is a good reminder to have as we go out through the year, so we should probably be reminded of it next July. Some people really do depend on that New Year's Day. That is their marker, and it's not so bad. But remember that you can create your own New Year's Day. You can create another day, another time you can set that can be your New Year's Day, the time that you shift. You know, it can be a holiday, a birthday, an anniversary, a day after a big event, or whatever you can wrap your head around. Go forth, do art. Life is art. Make beautiful canvases and put borders on your canvases so you finish your projects and writing your books. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this and it was good and thought-provoking. Feel free to go back in the archives and check up on a podcast or catch up on a podcast episode that maybe you haven't had a chance to listen to yet, if you would like. Feedback? I'd love feedback on the shorter episodes, too. I'd love to hear what you think. Hope you had a good time. I did. Check out the rest of the podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com or on iTunes or Stitcher or various other places that you find your podcasts. If you're feeling of the giving and generous spirit, we would love you to leave a review on wherever you're listening to your podcasts. And a little note talking about what you like about the podcast. Feel free to send your constructive feedback as well. Check out the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page. I certainly post the podcast there, but other stuff pops in there too as well. Please feel free to share this episode with anybody who you think might find it valuable or helpful in any way. And of course, we invite you, if you love the podcast and you'd like to support the work and the mission that we're doing here, please consider becoming a member of our Patreon family, as low as $1 a month. And again, thank you to those of you who have gone to the website and clicked into the Support the Podcast to get to an Amazon link to have a portion of your Amazon purchase count towards supporting the podcast. No cost to you at all. It is just a tiny portion of your purchase. So thank you for those of you who have taken those few extra clicks to do that. We really, really appreciate that. Absolutely thank you for thinking of us. I know you don't have to. You get on the web and you're going to Amazon, but to take those couple extra clicks to go to the website, to click through, I just appreciate you taking the time to do that. So thank you. We'll see you next week. I hope you're having a great new year. And in the meantime, may you continue to find those pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Bye-bye.